That's right.
Psalm 135. Hallelujah. Well, sorry. It starts off, praise the Lord, which in Hebrew would be hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Give praise, O servants of the Lord. Verse 2. Who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. 3. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to his name, for it is pleasant. Verse 4. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel as his own possession. Verse 5. For I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is above all gods. 6. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all deeps. 7. It is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain and brings forth the wind from his storehouses. 8.
He demonstrated that.
He did that today, yeah. He it was who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and of beast. 9. Who in your midst, O Egypt, sent signs and wonders against Pharaoh and all his servants. 10. Who struck down many nations and killed mighty kings. 11. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan. 12, and gave their land as a heritage to his people Israel. 13, your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, throughout all ages. 14, for the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants. 15, the idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak. They have eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, nor is there any breath in their mouths. Though 18, those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. 19, O house of Israel, bless the Lord. O house of Aaron, bless the Lord. 20, O house of Levi, bless the Lord. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. 21. Blessed be the Lord from Zion, he who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Well, that praise the Lord is hallelujah, and it begins and ends with hallelujah. We're calling this psalm the Song of Magnified Praise. Spurgeon says this in his general remarks concerning Psalm 135. This psalm has no title. It is mainly made up of selections from other scriptures. It has been called a mosaic and compared to a tessellated pavement. I provided a definition for tessellated. Here, on the back of your handout, this is what tessellated is. It's tiles of the same size that are put together to form patterns. Tessellated is an adjective used to describe patterns of shapes and fit together perfectly without any gaps. Tessellated patterns are kind of mosaic. They're often seen on surfaces that have been covered in tiles. That's because floor and wall tiles are often designed so that they can tessellate, fit together perfectly without any overlap or gaps. So at the outset, its first two verses are taken from Psalm 134, while the latter part of verse 2 and the commencement of verse 3 put us in mind of Psalm 116, verse 19. And verse 4 suggests Deuteronomy 7 and verse 6. Does not verse 5 remind us of Psalm 95, verse 3? As for verse 7, it is almost identical to Jeremiah 10, verse 13, which may have been taken from it. The passage contained in verse 13 is to be found in Exodus 3, verse 15, and verse 14 is Deuteronomy 32 and verse 36. The closing verses, 8 to 12, are in Psalm 136. From verse 15 to the end of the strain is a repetition of Psalm 115. This process of tracing the expressions to other sources might be pushed further without straining the quotations. The whole psalm is a compound of many choice extracts, and yet it has all the continuity and freshness of an original poem. The Holy Spirit occasionally repeats himself, not because he has the same things in the same form. Yet when our great teacher uses repetition, it is usually with instructive variations which deserve our careful attention, end quote. And I will note the repetition, which Sister Vicki and Sister Keeley and myself were talking about just on Sunday, the repetition, to not be afraid of repetition, because God uses repetition, and we need repetition. Spurgeon continues in the division of the psalm. The first 14 verses contain an exhortation to praise Jehovah for his goodness in verse 3, for his electing love in verse 4, his greatness in verses 5 through 7, his judgments in verses 8 through 12, his unchanging character in verse 13, and his love towards his people. This is followed by a denunciation of idols in verses 15 to 18, and a further exhortation to bless the name of the Lord. It is a song full of life, vigor, variety, and devotion, end quote. Reflections. Praise the Lord in verse 1 is the Hebrew words, Hallelujah. It is where we get our English expression, Hallelujah. Yah is the contracted form of the name of God revealed to Moses in the burning bush, according to Exodus 3 and verse 14. And Psalm 69 also it's used throughout the Old Testament scriptures, but it's specifically in the King James Version, it's J-A-H, and every other place it says that his name is Yah. So it's a contracted form. Jehovah, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, so that is from the burning bush. It's a contraction of Jehovah, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Halu means praise, or literally to lift up. Allah means to ascend. That's where the Hallel Psalms come from, which we just covered. So Hallel means to praise or to lift up. It comes from the Hebrew root halal, which means to boast in or brag about. It means to celebrate the virtue of something or the character of someone, to rave of someone's renown or so lavishly that what you look like to others is not a thought or consideration in your mind. Reflect upon David's dancing before Jehovah God when the ark entered Jerusalem properly on the shoulders of the Levites, and David's wife Michal was offended by his behavior, recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 11 through 21. You remember that after Uzzah died and they were bringing in the ark improperly, when they brought it in properly, David put on a linen ephod like the priests and he danced with all his might before the Lord. And then when the ark had come into Jerusalem, Michal, his wife, the daughter of Saul, was displeased and offended by him. But his praise before the Lord, he gave no thought to what it would look like. He danced before the Lord, and so he praised through dance. So that gives us a picture of halal, despite what it would look like. You know, we come to church carrying our Bibles, and to a lot of people that looks odd. Reasons to praise the Lord. I provided you 18 plus, because some of them have two things or two or three things mentioned in each one of them of the 21 verses. So I'm just providing these line items that I picked out from the verses. And I didn't provide references for them because that's kind of your homework. So if you'd like. But in verse 1, where it says, praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, give praise, O servants of the Lord. The reason for praising God is because God commands it right here in his word. The second verse, who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of God. God created the heavens, which is his house, and the earth, his court of judgment, and every creature stands on earth before him. That's a reason to praise the Lord. Verse 3 says, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to his name, for it is pleasant. Same word, pleasant, na'im, which is we saw in Psalm 133, verse 1. God is good, and to sing his praises pleases him, while it is also a pleasure to our souls. In verse 4, for the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel as his own possession. So the next thing in verse 4, God is gracious as a reason to praise him. God is gracious to choose a rascal like Jacob and sinners like you and me as his own possession. Another reason to praise the Lord from verse 5 is, for I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. And that word Lord there, which isn't capitalized, it's the word Adonai. And that's why I use the wording that I did. God is great, and there is no God like his Christ, our Lord. In verse 6, it says, whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all the deeps. God is sovereign and does all things everywhere for his will and good pleasure. In verse 7, it says, he it is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain and brings forth the wind from his storehouses. So God controls the weather for his purposes. And so that's a reason to praise the Lord. Verse 8, it was who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and of beast. God prophetically foreshadowed the death of Christ Jesus, the firstborn, in the destruction of idols in Egypt. Awesome reason to praise the Lord. Verse 9, who is in your midst, O Egypt, sent signs and wonders against Pharaoh and all his servants. God sends signs and wonders to encourage his people, while at the same time these signs and wonders bring judgment to rebellious men. Verses 10 and 11, who struck down many nations and killed mighty kings, Sihon king of the Amorites and Og king of Bashan and all the kingdoms of the Canaanites. God is mightier than the mightiest kings of the earth. Another reason to praise the Lord, as in verse 12, it says, and he gave their land as a heritage to his people, Israel. God provides an inheritance for all those whom he has saved. Another reason to praise the Lord, in verse 13, it says, your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, throughout all ages. God is eternal with a name that endures forever. Another reason to praise the Lord in verse 14, for the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants. God is a God of justice and compassion. Another reason to praise the Lord in verse 15, it says, the idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of human hands. God is self-existent, not the creation of human minds or imagination. Another reason to praise the Lord is in verse 16. They have mouths, but do not speak. They have eyes, but do not see. Our God speaks through the prophets, his word, and most gloriously through his Son. And he sees men's deeds and the thoughts and intents of the heart. Another reason to praise the Lord is found in verse 17. They have ears, but do not hear, nor is there any breath in their mouths. God hears the prayers of his people. Verse 18, another reason to praise the Lord, those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. Speaking of idols. But God conforms those who trust in him to the image of his Son. In verses 19 through 21, O house of Israel, bless the Lord, O house of Aaron, bless the Lord. O house of Levi, bless the Lord. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord from Zion, he who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. And so there, God blesses his people with the honor of serving him to bless him. When we serve the Lord and we bless him by serving him, that is an honor and a reason for us to praise the Lord. Those are just things that I came up with off the top of my head reading it this week. And I thought I'd just share that with you. And this is not an exhaustive list. Respond to this challenge by meditating upon all of Psalm 135 this week and reflect upon the reasons this psalm gives us for praising the Lord. Which reason given comes to mind most for you when you are praising the Lord? Why do you think this is so? Which reason gives you the most trouble? Why are you troubled by it? And when we get together next week, you don't have to say, well, I'm troubled by this or whatever. But think about it and consider it. Or which reason comes to your mind less frequently, and why do you suppose that is so? Prepare to discuss Psalm 135 next week.